The reading is taken from Luke 21 and 39 to 52, page 1028 in your church Bibles. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers and listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men.
This morning, we're continuing our sermon series, God Loves, with God Loves Parents. And it's entirely coincidental that this topic has landed on the same date as Annabella's baptism. We plan our sermon series. I know, I'm glad you find it funny, Annabella. We planned this sermon series long before we knew that this date would be for Annabella. So it's lovely. It's very appropriate. Because I think Matt and Emily would probably agree with me that becoming parents is one of the most wonderful things to have happened to them, but at the same time, it's one of the most challenging. So they need all the help they can get. And Emily and Matt, I want you to know, first of all, that God is for you. He's on your side. He loves you, and he loves Annabella. He wants to help you, and he wants to help every parent to be the best parents that they can be. So if we're parents here, it's good to know that. And if you're here and you think, well, this doesn't apply to me, I'm not a parent. Actually, parents need people who aren't equally preoccupied with parenting to come alongside them and support them and be good friends to them. So this is a whole community thing. Parents need to be supported, and sometimes the best friends to parents are those whose lives are not themselves complicated by bringing up children. Moreover, God understands every joy and anxiety that parents go through because he himself experienced parenthood in all its beauty and pain through the life and the death of his son, Jesus. When I was a child, which was a long time ago, God was presented to me as a scary, authoritarian figure who was constantly watching me, waiting to catch me out the moment that I got into trouble. I can see Joanna nodding. We're the same vintage, so it was clearly that particular generation, and possibly, I suspect, the particular schools that we went to. This was not the kind of father any of us would wish to spend any time with. But nothing could be further from the truth. God isn't waiting to catch us out. He isn't trying to catch us out. Instead, he longs to bless us. He longs to help us through the messes that we so often create in our lives. And he longs to show us the amazing plans that he has for us. And Jesus gives us a new vision of God. Jesus called God Abba, my Father, instead of just Father. And my says belonging. It speaks of intimacy. It speaks of trust. This God is the kind of dad you want to spend every spare minute with, the kind of dad who knows you and who loves you in a way that no one else can, the kind of dad that you run to when you need someone, the dad that you trust when he sets boundaries for you because you know that he only wants the very best for you. There are so many illustrations I could have chosen which show us God's Father's heart, but this one from the Old Testament prophecy of Hosea is especially tender. It's Hosea 11, 1-4. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. It was I who taught Israel to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I bent down to feed them. My mother had three children within a year, a boy followed by twins. Phew, it was okay when I and my brother were babies because we were safe in our pram and she just had one toddler to keep an eye on. This isn't my brother, needless to say. It's a picture that I got off the net. No, it doesn't look like me at all. Once we were walking, it was quite another thing. My twin brother and I were very adventurous. We kept running off in all directions, a bit like Annabella. The only way my mum could keep us safe was to put reins on us whenever we ventured beyond the garden gate. The reins were very similar to the one in the picture, and my brother and I hated it. We wanted to run free, but we didn't understand how dangerous the traffic was or what might happen if we got lost, I guess. She was protecting us for our own safety. And in the same way, God wanted to protect Israel. He didn't want them to get hurt, but they kept wandering away, only to come running back to him whenever anything went wrong. And God showed such amazing patience towards them. The tragic thing was, all the time the people of Israel were running in the wrong direction, they were missing out on all the good things that God had for them. They didn't seem to realize just how much God loved them. Children thrive when they have clear and fair boundaries. God gave Israel boundaries for their own protection. And as long as they stayed close to him, they had everything that they needed. It was I who taught Israel to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I bent down to feed them. Emily and Matt, if you allow God to, he will lead you with cords of love and kindness, and he will give you all the wisdom that you need and all the grace and strength that you need to care for Bella. In another powerful image from the Old Testament, God is compared to a mother. Isaiah 49:15. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. This verse has a particular resonance for me. When my oldest child was just a couple of weeks old, I took her into Kingston shopping. I felt like some new post-baby clothes. Bentalls was still divided by department rather than split into tiny franchises. Whole floors were devoted to skirts or blouses or trousers or whatever you wanted to buy. Kate was fast asleep in her pram. Kate actually babysat for Emily. I think this is just extraordinary. This is so funny talking about Kate when you're here. Kate was fast asleep in her pram. I parked her in a corner and wandered off. I vaguely wanted some new tops, but it was more about getting out of the house than doing any serious shopping. And I wandered around and must have covered the whole of that floor of Bentalls. An hour or so later, I headed back up the road towards home. I had got halfway before I realised I had forgotten something, or rather, forgotten someone. I had left Kate behind. My excuses, baby hormones, sleep deprivation, call it what you will, but I tore back as if my life depended on it. As if Kate's as well. Mercifully, nothing had happened. Kate was still there, exactly where I had left her, peacefully sleeping in her pram. It took rather longer for my heart rate to recover. The Israelites accused God of forgetting them, but the opposite was true. They had forgotten God and were no longer following him. God does not forget his people. Emily and Matt, you can be certain that God will never forget you. He'll never forget Bella. I can't see her at the moment. She's there. He'll never forget Bella. He'll always be there for you. But let me give you a warning. Like the people of Israel, we too can easily forget God. Like me forgetting Kate, we can leave him behind and wander off. We get distracted by the other things around us. And this isn't necessarily deliberate. It's not that we get up one morning and think, I'm going to forget about God. I'm going to leave him behind. I'm not going to include him in my life. It's just we can drift. We can sort of move away from him without realizing it. I just want to encourage you not to let anything spoil your growing relationship with God. Because I believe that he's beginning to show you a whole new way of life which has God at the center. And I'm really pleased to see Emily nodding at this point. This is so precious. Don't risk losing it by taking your gaze off him. And this is something we all need to remember. We can all lose sight of how precious God is until we've left him far behind. Talking of wandering off and forgetting, let's get some parenting tips from Luke's gospel. And I love this story because it reminds us that Mary and Joseph were ordinary parents who were capable of making mistakes. Despite the halos in our stained glass windows, they weren't superhuman. Like us, they needed God's help to bring up their baby. And we also need to remember that Jesus, despite being God's son, was also fully human. He wasn't born with extra supernatural knowledge or power. He laid all of that aside so that he could be just as we are. Just as Annabella only knows what she learns from her parents and from those behind her, Jesus also had to learn everything about everything from scratch. I think sometimes we think Jesus arrived with a sort of complete package, knowing about God because he'd come from God. But he was born in human form. He knew nothing. He knew only what he learned from Mary and Joseph and other people around him. So what kind of parents were Mary and Joseph? Well, first, they listened to God and they obeyed him, just as they had from the moment Jesus was conceived. And our reading began when Jesus was 8 years old, and they brought him to the temple to be circumcised, which was what the Jewish law required. But this ceremony was only the beginning of his spiritual development. Mary and Joseph were responsible for all that happened next, just as Annabella is at the beginning of her journey, finding out about God, and you, Matt and Emily, are responsible with the godparents, with the parents, with the friends, with the family, everyone around her, for what she learns next. Spiritual training for Jewish children began at a very young age. This was because they were regarded as responsible adults from 13. Learning the Hebrew scriptures was a priority, together with the Talmud or Jewish commentaries. Jesus wasn't born knowing scripture. He memorized it, just like any other Jewish boy. Luke 2:40, the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Jesus wasn't just growing physically, he was growing spiritually. And Mary and Joseph modeled what they were teaching, Luke 2:41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Sometimes at our Christmas midnight service, we see people who regard themselves as regulars at St. Paul's who say as they leave, "See you next year." This isn't the only time that Jesus' family went to worship God. This was a special event at the temple, but we know that the rest of the year they were faithful members of their local synagogue. Jesus had lots of opportunities to learn at home, in the synagogue, and in the temple. And I love the fact that Annabella is already so at home here. This is because she's been coming for a while, both to Rainbows and to church. So Emily and Matt, you've made a great start with her, but the challenge now is to keep going. When I was a child, my parents were fairly regular churchgoers, but for some reason they never sent us to Sunday school. I think they had a sort of a bit of a thing about the Sunday school teacher. They didn't like her or something. I never quite got to the bottom of it. So when everyone went out to join their groups, we went home to play. Home alone, I should say, because my parents stayed in church for the rest of the service, and the three of us just wandered home alone. But this meant I never had age-appropriate learning. And also, we were only in church for the beginning of the service, which was sort of 1662 old language, which actually now I think is beautiful when I use a service using that language. But as a child, I didn't understand anything that was going on. Mercifully, God bypassed my parents' slightly lukewarm efforts. When I was 18, I went on a youth holiday, which I had joined without realizing it was being run by Scripture Union. I was blown away by their teaching, which made God and Jesus seem so relevant and so real. And that was when my spiritual journey really took off. But I was left feeling really sad at so many wasted years. I felt as if I'd got 18 years to catch up on. We can make an impact on our children's lives from the beginning. And Stu talked about this a few weeks ago. Children love stories. And there are some brilliant stories in the Bible. And Emily was delighted when she heard that Annabella would get a children's Bible today. And I hope it becomes one of her favourite books. Because what we love to read as a child tends to stay with us all our lives. I can still remember the favourite stories that my parents read to me. Mary loved to talk to God, and we can be sure that she prayed for Jesus as well as teaching him to pray for himself. We can do the same. When my own children were little, we would always say thank you, sorry, and please prayers. It wasn't very sophisticated, but it established the idea of prayer. And Matt told me that his mother used to do similar thing when he was little, and he still remembers this. So well done, Matt's mum. My children are now grown up. I don't know how much they pray now, if at all. But they know that I pray, and they still ask me to pray for them. And I can remember getting occasional calls from uni. "Mum, can you pray for my friend? They need a bit of help." And of course, I didn't know if the friend actually existed or if it was them who needed prayer. But I would pray for both of them just to make sure. As parents, prayer is our secret weapon, which we can use on behalf of our children anywhere and at any time. It can be quite general. "Lord, please help them today. Please protect them from harm. Please bless them. Please draw them closer to you." And obviously, if you know about a specific situation, you can pray in greater detail, knowing that God cares about us and cares about our children. One of our children was having a really tough time at work, for obvious reasons. As this is going out on the web, I'm not going to identify them. I didn't know this. Then a friend of mine, who's a bit of a prayer warrior, called me up. She mentioned my child and said, "Is everything okay?" And I asked her why. And she said that God had put my child's name really strongly on her heart, and she'd been praying for them every day since then. And when our child came home, I asked them, "What's going on?" I didn't tell them that this friend of mine was praying for them. I just said, "What's going on?" And it turned out they were having a nightmare situation with a senior colleague, and their whole job situation was at threat. I was so amazed. The creator of the universe knew what was happening to my child, and he told my friend to pray for them before I even knew about it. Our Father God cares about our children, and he cares about us. And amazingly, what looked like an impossible situation was resolved. Only God, only prayer could have done it. Okay, back to Jesus for the final part of the story. Mary and Joseph were on their way home, unaware that Jesus had stayed behind. This sounds incredibly careless, a bit like me in Bentalls, but the fact is they weren't travelling alone. They would have been part of a much larger group, which would have included family, friends, and neighbours. The women and children often travelled separately to the menfolk. Jesus was at that funny age. He was 12. He was legally still a child, but only just. At the age of 13, he'd have been regarded as an adult. So he could have been with either group. So Mary probably thought, well, he's with Joseph. He's at the back with Joseph and the men. And Joseph probably thought, well, Jesus is with Mary and the children. And they probably both thought, if he isn't with us, he's racketing around with his cousins somewhere. They had no reason to be worried until it became clear that he wasn't with them. And then they were alarmed, and they returned as quickly as they could. I know the feeling. And finally, they found him, Luke 2:46, sitting in the temple courts among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Here's the thing. Rabbis sat down to teach. So by sitting with the teachers, Jesus was identifying himself with them, and it would appear more than holding their own. No wonder Mary and Joseph were so astonished. They didn't understand that Jesus was preparing to do his heavenly Father's work. Luke 2:49. "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" But it wasn't yet Jesus' time. And Jesus shows how he too learned obedience, because he went home with Mary and Joseph to Nazareth, where he continued to learn and to grow and to develop, a credit to his earthly family as well as his heavenly Father. Matt and Emily, to know God is the most precious possession that we can ever have. And it's also the most precious possession that we can hand on to others, to our children and to those around us. So we pray that the journey that you are on will be a blessing to you, a blessing to Bella, but a blessing to your family and a blessing to your community where you live. We pray that it will bring you much joy. Amen.